This is an extemporaneous Christian Science prayer treatment by the Mary Baker Eddy Institute. Website mbeinstitute.org. Founded in 1988, website began 1995. The purpose of the website is really simply the golden rule to practice and promote the practice thereof in all thought, speech, and action. Follow the Bible that says pray without ceasing, which means to live the life as a shining lighthouse, radiating the qualities of God as reflected, as the way they're defined by Mary Baker Eddy, which is based upon the statements about the seven synonymous terms of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love in the Bible. We use the King James Version as the standard, although we look at other Bibles, because each one has something to offer. We just have to make sure that we are always following the three introductory quotes at the beginning of the textbook. Number one, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Jesus, quoted by John. 2. There is nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. Shakespeare. Number 3. Oh, thou hast heard my prayer, and I am blessed. This is thy high behest, thou here and everywhere. The first one is very straightforward. If we want to eliminate from our life everything that is unlike 100% God-like, which is truth with a capital T, then we must eliminate it by searching for its opposite, which is God-like. So as we adopt in our thought, speech, and action God-like qualities, in that proportion we eliminate ungodlike qualities. Shakespeare gives us some very valuable advice. If we connect the dots with what other wise people have said over the centuries, if not longer, and that is basically that what we see is what is in our consciousness, and what our consciousness is projecting forth what we will accept. So the words of Shakespeare about nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so, we need to rely on the knowing of God, because God is defined as omniscient, and omniscience means intelligence, wisdom, and knowing. And each one of those words are prefaced with the word O-M-N-I. Omni. Omni means one, only, and all. So all wisdom, all intelligence, all knowing is exclusively qualities that are part and parcel of God. They can be reflected, and that's exactly what God does in all of his manifestation. There are symbols all over. If we are alert to seeing how they are in play, how they are being expressed, how the manifestation of God of those qualities can be very clear if we're looking through the lens of spirit, when we're thinking, saying, or acting about any topic, any time, to anyone, in any way, any circumstance. Because Mary Baker Eddy says that if we want to have the vision of God, which is all seeing, then we need to be cleaning out consciousness and focusing on truth no matter what comes our way. And she stated that in a letter of a student that was asking for guidance on how to solve a vision problem. And Mary Baker Eddy's response was one huge pearl of wisdom. Can you focus no matter what comes your way? Jesus tells us what to focus on. Truth. Ye shall know the truth. If we know the truth, all opposite becomes unknown to us. Just like it's unknown to God. God doesn't know anything about anything except himself. Because God is all there is. There is nothing else for God to know. And whoever is a source manifests itself with all of the qualities within. So the entire existence is absolutely occupied clear through infinity, which is ever expanding with God's qualities. And why is it expanding? Because of the reflective capacity of spirit, which is the only substance and is flawless and is reflective. And it can only be reflective if it's transparent. It cannot be like the so-called matter, which is opaque. There's only two choices. Is it transparent or is it opaque? Opaque is suffocating. It is flaws that are permeating wherever it is given permission to enter. Are we going to pick up the phone, as Wentworth Winslow refers to our options of either listening to the God consciousness or pick up the phone and listen to suggestions that are unlike God? Which do we want to do? Which do we want to let be in consciousness? Because whatever we let in consciousness is who we are. Every thought, speech, and action that we're involved in comes from what is in our consciousness. That's what truth is all about. It is motive and carried out through thought, speech, and action. What is our model? Because that is what we are going to be experiencing. Mary Baker Eddy warns us and tells us that we are barraged constantly with mortal mind suggestions, which are no good whatsoever. And the chapter 3 in Science and Health, or chapter 2, excuse me, is entitled Atonement and Eucharist. John Morgan, an excellent Christian Scientist in a previous era, said that atonement means to be at one with God. And Eucharist means the price we pay to do it. The price in order to be at one with God is to be non-existent with God's opposite. If you've ever heard of Bruce Lee, he is the forever historic example of giving to everyone. Without a doubt, he is by far the greatest martial artist that ever existed. And of course, he's still existing, because what are we? We're all ideas. The idea of what he represented always exists. And what did he do to earn such an accolade? When he was in a so-called fight, he had such an expertise on how the body functions and on what happens in the sequence of events to bring forth a movement. In other words, think of a boxer. And the one that I'm referring to as the example would be the one that would be throwing a punch for the purpose of knocking the opponent out. And then he would be called, the one that threw the punch would be called the winner and the champion. What happens to the champion's body before his fist hits the opponent? A lot of things. And Bruce Lee explains it all in detail, and that's why we have a large compilation of his martial arts skill on the website. There is a very extensive recommended method for advancing one's spirituality. We all have it available because God is omnipresent and God is spirit. But we have to peel the onion to get down to the core, because there's so much that has influenced us erroneously because the suggestions are 360 degrees. Like Mary Baker Eddy said, as previously quoted, can you focus no matter what comes your way? Because there's a lot that comes our way. It's just floating in the atmosphere and thoughts, and there's activities going on all around where people don't even have a clue that there's tremendous, unlimited benefits by following in the footsteps of Christ Jesus, Mary Baker Eddy, the three people that had 15-minute appointments that had healings accomplished in that time, Joel Goldsmith and Wentworth Winslow, Frederick L. Rassen. Those are the three that had 15-minute appointments. I mean, they healed hundreds of people probably in a month. If they had 15-minute appointments and if they only worked 8 hours a day, they would be 32 a day. And if you work 20 days a month, that's 600 healings a month. That's 7,000 a year. These are all round numbers. 7,000 a year. And we know that Joel Goldsmith was in business 16 years in the office building by the Mother Church. 7,000 a year times 16 years is 112,000 healings. I mean, these three men could have healed every single person in Boston. And what did the Mother Church do? They chased Joel Goldsmith out of town. Because all the other practitioners were complaining that they had no patients. And why didn't they have any patients? Because they didn't have any healings. The patients are attracted to where the healings are being affected. We wouldn't be in this situation that we're in right at this moment if every Christian Scientist would have done their work. And Mary Baker Eddy made that statement before she left this earth and planet in visible form in 1910, December of 1910, is when she transitioned out of the visible form. And she said, if Christian Scientists don't do their work, that America would be in such a terrible situation that we would be facing a dark ages that was longer and more intense than anything civilization has faced in the entire history of human civilization. She warned us 116 years ago. Then what happened around 35 years ago? The morals of the leadership had dropped to such a low ebb that they opened the door wide, and it was already open many years before this. But about 1990, it was opened so wide that the number one person at the monitor resigned, and for good reason. And so for the last 35, 36 years, the monitor was not at all what it was supposed to be. The motto of the monitor that Mary Baker Eddy established was that it was supposed to bless all mankind and injure none. Now you can't follow that if the leadership has such a low moral value that they would have fit right into Sodom and Gomorrah. And it doesn't take very long to do a little Bible research on exactly what Sodom and Gomorrah represented. That's what we had in the core of our church. And there's a book that came out not long ago, 2 or 3, 4 years ago, I believe it was, called Between Two Towers. We have been infiltrated by the most evil intelligence agency in the world. They're running the church, just like they're running most of the major corporations, most of the 501(c) churches, the government, the U.S. government, and the local and state level governments. They're all under the same corrupt system. That's why the good guys in the military discovered our president when he was in business and explained the facts of life to him, which of course he already knew a great deal of it, because he had been making public comments about it for decades, you know, at least 1 or 2 decades. So he was selected because he was the great white hope to be able to have the courage, the wisdom, and the experience to bring things out of the deepest of bankruptcy category and turn it around into total success. Total success. He'd done it with his own business. So he was selected. He's prophesied in the Bible. He has the capability, and he's been demonstrating it. We have put tremendous amounts of information on the website to show all the actions that have been done, many of which have been behind the scenes, and the public is not aware of it. But lately, it has been heavy drips. It had been slow, carefully engineered, according to the blueprint, prior to recent weeks. And in recent weeks, more and more exposure is being made public. And now, today is June 27 and July 4th, which is only a few days away. We're looking at a couple of weeks or so. And by that time, things will have accelerated much more. There's going to be much publicized exposure of what has been taking place with the alliance of the White Hat military throughout the world. And it's going to accelerate even more starting July 4. Mary Baker Eddy said in Chapter 5 of the textbook that we must find the root of the evil. And remember, the lowest category of those four levels is depravity. And that's mortal mind in the first degree. We have to go down to that level in many cases in order to determine the root of whatever the problem is we're dealing with on an individual basis. And of course, the part we're dealing with on an individual basis that benefits all humanity is our own individual cleansing of our own individual consciousness. I had a long time, very successful practitioner. And I asked her to give me an idea of how she conducts a treatment. I mean, I did not learn this in class instruction. I made a big mistake on the choice of my teacher. I should have gone shopping like I did in my business. Our business was involved in a lot of very deep research. I should have done that before I took class instruction. I didn't. Of course, that did give me an opportunity to know how insufficient it was so that I could really get busy to work on my own. And of course, we always learn more on our own than we learn in a class. Because when we learn on our own, we're going through the necessary process to really dig deeply, learn it by practicing it. And that's the only way we can learn anything important, by practicing it, by living it. As mentioned, that third quote where Mary Baker Eddy said, "Oh, thou hast heard my prayer and I am blessed. This is thy high behest, thou here and everywhere." I believe that's telling us that we have to live our prayer, as was mentioned previously. And that means that every thought, speech, and action has to be in alignment with God, the laws of the universe. On the home page is the presentation, Effective Healing, that was referred to. And the very first step is to be sure that we have had enough experiences that we're fed up with, and we're really sincerely not knowing maybe what the solution is, but there has to be a better way with better results in our life. And the problem is, people are searching, but they don't know where to go. This is exactly the gap that the Mary Baker Eddy Institute is working on to fulfill. To provide the pathway with specific instructions on how to proceed to begin progress immediately. Here are a couple of quotes that will tell you just how directly Christian Science and the system of divine metaphysics enters into the picture. Einstein stated, and this was after he studied the textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, by Mary Baker Eddy. He studied it thoroughly. He not only attended church, but he spent devoted time in the reading room that was close to where he was, where he could study in privacy and quiet contemplation. He said this, "Science without religion is lame. Religion without science is blind. There's one religion that is described in two words that automatically should be a big wake-up call that it is the only one that complies with what Einstein stated after he had studied the textbook. Christian Science. That gives you the religion, and science gives you the science. When you combine those two words, Christian Science, they will tell you just how comprehensive to be looking to find out more about it than most people ever dreamed of when they said or thought to themselves that, I don't know what the answer is, but there's got to be a better way. To this day, Mary Baker Eddy is the only one that saw the light. For there was a very important meeting in 325 AD, you know, about 300 years after Jesus ascended. So between 325 AD and 1866, which is the year that Christian Science was discovered by Mary Baker Eddy, you're talking 1,540 years that the most important element of why Jesus was on earth had been buried. It had been buried as a result of the Council of Nicaea, which was a meeting between the churches and the governments in Europe to decide what to do about Christianity. Because Christian Science teaches independence. And neither the churches nor the governments want the population to be independent. The churches want the population to be dependent upon whoever's running the local church to give them a sense of forgiveness for all of the evils they've been involved in. And the governments want to have total control of the people so they can keep them dumbfied and tax them to the maximum so they have nothing left for, in America, the American dream, which means to own your own home and to have some time off in between Friday night and Monday when you go back to work. Mary Baker Eddy states the importance of finding the evil, exposing it, and just exposing it opens it up so that a lot of it is destroyed by itself, and then the Christian Scientist goes in and does the cleanup to get rid of the rest of it. one of the greatest, if not the greatest, next to Mary Baker Eddy of all time in Christian Science, and specifically Christian Science Healing, which came after extreme serious research, was Frederick L. Rawson. He said, you don't have to know the evil, but the more you know about all the factors that he discusses in one suggested way to practice your study and perform healing, is that you want to deny that the problem has any reality or any real problem. But of course, if you're looking on a materialistic view, it has all kinds of problems and no healing. And that's the way all the churches are, except for one, and even it is very lame. That's the Christian Science Church. It's very lame because of what the directors have done, their path that they've taken of typical human frailties of greed and control, which are both in a total antipode of what Mary Baker Eddy expected. That is, she expected it, but knew that it would probably fail. Because she knew, she understood humanity, she understood the human tendencies, and so she didn't even want to have a church because of that. And the control is a bureaucracy that any large organization has built into it, whether it was conceived by the original individual that started the organization or not. And once you have control of the people, then it's very common to steal. And that's what they've been doing. Anyone that tries to publish or expose a problem in any organization, any entity whatsoever, they are attacked by the ones that are being exposed. That's because the brain is trained to cultivate its own ego. This is one of the many things where Mary Baker Eddy refers to it, and she says, our experience is based on the compounding of lie upon lie. And she also says the lie and the liar are one and the same. Because a lie cannot exist unless there is someone that's going to accept it and promote it. It's like a mushroom. It's all covered up. And that's the greatest habitat for a mushroom. And what do you think the greatest habitat is for truth? It's the opposite. It's the opposite. It means expose all evil so you can see clearly to focus on the truth. And eventually you'll be able to focus on truth with a capital T. It's common at the lower level of honesty for people to know the moral level. That's the second one from the bottom. Depravity is the bottom. But the moral has obvious things that most people align with. Knowing the difference between whether any given thought, speech, or action is in accordance with something that is spiritually oriented or not. Everyone has a sense of right versus wrong, but some of them, it is so concealed because there's been so many years of believing something else to pursue in order to have the kind of life that you would like to have. This is what Mary Baker Eddy says about the practical nature of Christian Science. The title is Practical Science, and it's from page 128. The term science, properly understood, refers only to the laws of God and to His government of the universe, inclusive of man. From this it follows that businessmen and cultured scholars have found that Christian Science enhances their endurance and mental powers, enlarges their perception of character, gives them acuteness and comprehensiveness, and an ability to exceed their ordinary capacity. The human mind, imbued with this spiritual understanding, becomes more elastic, is capable of greater endurance, escapes somewhat from itself, and requires less repose. A knowledge of the science of being develops the latent abilities and possibilities of man. It extends the atmosphere of thought, giving mortals access to broader and higher realms. It raises the thinker into his native air of insight and perspicacity. Where it says his native air, that is A-I-R. In other words, the atmosphere. We're in a different atmosphere when we're studying about the real God, because we're in an atmosphere of spirit which is flawless, instead of one that is compounded lie upon lie, as Mary Baker Eddy indicates, is what the atmosphere is of almost everyone, because it is floating around. Continuing, an odor becomes beneficent and agreeable only in proportion to its escape into the surrounding atmosphere. So it is with our knowledge of truth. If one would not quarrel with his fellow man for waking him from a cataleptic nightmare, he should not resist truth, which banishes, yea, forever destroys, with the higher testimony of spirit, the so-called evidence of matter. Again, that's from Science and Health, page 128. Think about what that is telling us. It benefits every phase of one's life. Every phase. Nothing escapes improvement if we're really searching for the truth. And once we find it, that we live by it. Because it has to be active. It can't just be a passive recognition. It has to be part of our life. A very important part. The dominating part. For it can be transitioned into any topic, and no matter where you are on the understanding of the topic. Mary Baker Eddy emphasizes the importance of knowing our business. She said the only reason Jesus was able to experience such divinity was because he had mastered the finer points of humanity. In other words, for example, love. When we start expressing spiritual love, spiritual love, it replaces a lower caliber of love. The same is true with all of the other six synonymous terms. The first definition on 465 says that God is incorporeal, divine, supreme, infinite mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, love. Very simple and straightforward once it was discovered. But remember, every important discovery is accompanied with an ongoing challenge all the way to the end. And one cannot just be successful in having a better understanding of spirit, but because God is life, and life means activity, and specifically life with a capital L, means living the qualities of God in all thought, speech, and action. Does that sound familiar? Gaining a better understanding of God and His greatest manifestation, which is man, as is stated in Genesis chapter 1. Man is such an important part of the tools that God has given us that it includes the characteristic of man as having dominion over everything. What's in the sky, what's under the earth, what's in the water, all 360 degrees. Will we accept the challenge? One of the most important things that the average individual does not understand is that the brain rejects anything that is unlike what it believes to be true. The atmosphere is very much a closed box. And of course, for a long time, ones who have been really successful and have been in a training as a profession for other people to be successful, they say you have to think outside the box. If any of you have studied how to be successful, you'll find that that's one of the common terms. Thinking outside the box. Einstein stated that curiosity has its own reason for existing. Never stop questioning. He also stated that one can never solve a problem on the same level as where the problem occurred. Think about that a moment. If there is evil working that is concealed that we know nothing about, we may struggle severely to overcome the problem and get nowhere. Or we may struggle and make substantial success and feel that we're on the right path, but yet still have not realized that evil is playing a part. Not a good one, but it's active. One of the reasons that we are unable to make the kind of progress we should be making is that every little thing that you think, say, or do has an impact on what the moments following any particular topic are going to be affected by it. Are we going to compound good activities? Mary Baker Eddy says, the good we do and embody gives us the only power obtainable. Are we going to capture that power by doing good activities? Bernie Kerik, along with Rudy Giuliani, turned the city of New York completely around. When Rudy was elected the mayor, and then he hired Bernie to be the police commissioner, they had an entire universe of thought, speech, and action that was fighting him. Corruption disappears when light shines on it. That's why they call it the swamp. It disappears from one beautiful thing, a warm sunshine. If we do not recognize that there is underlying evil that is working away unnoticed, then we're going to have a very expanded, difficult time with bringing forth a healing. The only thing that a healing is a recognition that our prior thought was incorrect, and that there's a new thought that is very correct and will guarantee an improvement, if not a total healing. But what do we have to do to bring this forth? We have to learn and live what we learn. If you read something and then continue reading, there's a high percentage chance that you will not remember what you've read. It is said that the only way that you will remember what you've read is to use more senses, to make it your own. We take it a step further. Here at the Institute, we say that there's only one way to remember what you learn, by doing it in repetition. Because you are getting the falsity of life almost every time you look at any kind of media. It can be an internet channel. It can be a sign, a billboard sign as you're out in public. It could be a friend or a business associate that is giving you their views, which are not correct. It could be utilizing some kind of an object to be able to clean up a mess. And you clean up the mess without even thinking about how can you prevent it in the future. What caused it? An egg is a good example of a kind of a mess that's not very pleasant to clean up. And if you drop an egg, accidentally of course, on a clean tile floor, let's say it's white, so you can easily tell if there's anything left to clean up. And if the grouting is level with the ceramic of the tile, or maybe it's marble, whatever it is, then it's easier to clean up. But what happens if it is a carpet that is a low nap, in other words, a short-haired carpet? That is much easier than if it's a long one. A long-haired carpet is very difficult. Very difficult. So, obviously, the best solution is to never drop the egg. Now, the only way we can never drop the egg is if we protect our thought with the shield of the seven synonymous terms that define God. The intelligence of mind, the knowing and the wisdom of mind, the creative ability of mind, the faculty, facility, functionality of mind, the enlightenment, which keeps us alert so that we see that there could be a problem in advance of being indulged in it, and with spirit, recognize that it is flawless. In other words, the only substance that exists is a flawless substance, because spirit represents substance. A flawless substance is one that is rarely seen by anyone because they're looking through their concept of vision, which is utilizing mortal organs, which are flawed from the very beginning. If you don't think so, compare your vision with the vision that they know that certain other creatures have, such as an eagle. How about the hearing of a dog? How about the smell of a dog? A dog has a sense of smell, you know, and they vary between different types of dogs. But if there's a child that is lost, you can have a dog that is trained to follow a scent by having them sniff something that the child was wearing. Maybe socks or whatever has an odor on it that would identify that child. And a dog can go off and search all around where it was first known to leave until it locates that scent, and then it can follow the scent. A human can't do that. The best a human can do is understand how to track by other signs, but not by smell. It's by vision. How about the sense of other things? We have five senses: seeing, hearing, feeling, smelling, taste. Animals typically, many of them, typically don't even have to taste to know that the food is bad, so they won't even take the first bite. How about feel? One can have a feeling that something isn't right, even though the other four senses may say it's okay. Investments are a good example, because the human mind loves greed. One of the axioms of investing is that, and this is an investment whereby you can either be long or short. Long meaning you can buy now expecting for the price to go up and sell at a higher price and make a profit. And being able to make a profit from the price going down means that there's a type of investment that gives you a facility to sell something, and then you have an obligation to buy to even the trade out. So the best kind gives you the facility to do either one, so that no matter whether the market is going up or the market is going down, that you can benefit. And it can be any kind of market. It can be a market for an agricultural product that you eat, or something you can grow on a tree, nuts, or fruits, or vegetables, which typically grow out of smaller plants out of the ground. The enlightened capability of mind is a very valuable asset to be able to know the right thing to do, to to accomplish what we are striving to accomplish. And if we use less than all five of the senses, even in a material way, let alone if we're going to go to a much higher dimension, which is the spiritual senses, if we use only part of them, we are robbing ourselves of the opportunity to be much more successful in whatever the endeavor is, whatever the topic is, whatever the atmosphere is in which we're working. It doesn't matter. We are limiting ourselves. We're working with one hand behind our back, or maybe both of them. Maybe our eyes closed. And that's exactly what happens when we're not paying attention to what we could see with the vision if we were looking without a bias. The instructions in the presentation, which is presently on the home page, but it's always available through the menu of effective healing, is we must use all five senses. There's objections to it right away. I've had some people that said that they were very interested in improving their life through spiritualizing their consciousness, and they'll read or they'll listen, in other words, read the words in a book or a publication of some kind, or listen to like an MP3. But when it comes time to utilizing something that requires more senses, such as recording in their own voice what they are reading, or their own thoughts about what they are learning about what they're reading, has a tremendous resistance associated with it. And how about listening to your own recordings? Hardly anybody wants to do that. And on the most part, they feel inferior versus listening to what someone else has created. But if you don't use all of the faculties, you are limiting the result. And severely limiting, if not eliminating, the possibility of remembering it. And remembering it has to be what is accomplished in order to be able to utilize it in your daily life. This is the lowest stage of forming a model. But Mary Baker Eddy says, form a perfect model in thought. And I say the lowest stage because what you want to do is form the perfect model that addresses the problem directly and not just have a generic model. Now, the tools that you use in both of them can be identical, but the one that addresses the problem is isolating the things that are directly related to the problem, instead of making generic terms or analyses or syllogisms that apply to the particular situation. And the more effort that is put directly on reversing anything that becomes obvious to us by doing some serious digging is not going to be as productive as it would be otherwise. That's why Frederick L. Rawson, who I've mentioned is one of the most successful ones ever to exist next to Mary Baker Eddy or alongside Mary Baker Eddy, is because he says to begin, you must reverse the effectiveness at the surface level by making a very simple statement, there is no, and then you state what the problem is. Whatever it is, there is no, and then you name it. And then you lift thought to make definite, solid declarations about the opposite. You recognize God as being the only power, the only mind, and all the other things that I mentioned. I'll give you briefly what the other five terms are telling us that we need to do. The website includes all of the reference material you need to dig into any situation to discover what the real root of the problem is and how to solve it. And effective healing really puts everything together and connects all the dots and tells you step by step how one should proceed. You will be amazed at the difference in the effectiveness of what you're reading if you follow the procedure that is outlined in the presentation entitled Effective Healing. You're not going to get very far anyway if you don't approach it on a humble basis. And that's one reason people object to doing what we recommend, because they're not willing to realize that they must be humble. If you're not humble, then you're not in an attitude to learn, because you think you already know what you need to know. But if you did, you wouldn't be having the problem. Another thing that's very important is that you always leave personality, including your own, out of trying to solve it. Another thing you need to remember is that the more you think about the problem, the less you can think about the opposite to the problem. And thinking about the opposite of the problem is exactly what brings forth the healing. But you can't be thinking about the problem and its opposite at the same time, because you're not able to focus. You need to focus unequivocally on the qualities that reverse the mortal attributes that are trying to make you remember that it can't be fixed. The whole drug industry is based on keeping you in the dark. I believe that we have a very high probability of totally eliminating the medical industry. It's corrupt from beginning to end. The medical doctors are paid by the drug companies to promote their drugs. The medical industry operates on salesmen. They get paid on commissions based on the sales that are generated by the doctors. We believe there's going to be an enormous exposure, and there has been already, and we have it covered on our website, of many, many topics that no one understood or knew anything about. And we have it on there for one reason: to give you the opportunity to help solve it, national and internationally. In fact, globally, which is galactically. You know, all of those objects up in the sky. There's a reason that the president and the wealthiest man on planet Earth have a good, respectable friendship and working relationship with each other, because one of them is the best expert on strategy about human nature. And the other one is the best expert on the technologies he's involved in. He is years above others that are working in those same fields of technology. Just sending a rocket off into space and bringing it back and landing it in its own launching pad, he estimates is 10 years ahead of everyone else. And we're not in the business, we being all of us, of comparing ourselves to others, because instead of getting rid of the personality, that amplifies the personality. And we don't want to do that. An individual can conduct the most evil act in the world, and society, through their law enforcement, could arrest him, find his crimes are so bad that they want to, and maybe do, execute him. But what happens? They haven't destroyed the evil. They've destroyed a person that was representing it. There's plenty more around that would do the same thing, and probably will. That's one reason why we need to separate the personality from the event, because it's not going to solve any problem whatsoever. If someone has developed a hate for them because of the evil acts they did, it might give that individual that was not separating the personality from the act some shallow type of success, but it's very shallow and short-lived, and it doesn't solve the problem. It's like having weeds in your flower garden or vegetable garden or whatever. If all you do is pull the tops off and you don't dig out the roots, you're probably going to find it's going to come up healthier because it's got the same root system and not going to have the burden of continuing something that's already in some state of maturity, because it has an opportunity to start over. We have to recognize how things work together. And that's what the system of divine metaphysics is all about. Let me read to you two very significant paragraphs that should make a major impact on what you're going to be facing and how to solve it. On page 146 is the first major clue down at the bottom. Mary Baker Eddy states, "Divine metaphysics is now reduced to a system, to a form comprehensible by and adapted to the thought of the age in which we live. This system enables the learner to demonstrate the divine principle upon which Jesus' healing was based, and the sacred rules for its present application to the cure of disease." And on page 330, she follows up with the serious meat. She says, "There are 32 planks to the platform. When the 32 planks of the platform is understood, and the letter and the spirit bear witness, the infallibility of divine metaphysics will be demonstrated." And she follows it with 11 pages, giving you a substantial paragraph on each one of the 32 topics that are required to be understood in order to be able to prove what she says here. She says, when the 32 planks of the platform is understood, and the letter and the spirit bear witness, the infallibility of divine metaphysics will be demonstrated. 700 pages in the textbook, and there is more than that number, because as in many textbooks, there are some pages that are numbered with Roman numerals. And in this case, the pages preceding chapter 1 are numbered that way. But basically, there's 700 pages that are numbered. We're going to be required to read and study the textbook many times more than if we do not follow the instructions provided to get the same level of understanding. The reason is that the system we recommend utilizes all five senses. All five. Seeing, hearing, feeling, smelling, and taste. So we can take it the long way, or we can take it a shorter way that is more effective. Frederick L. Rawson says you don't have to do all of the steps that he recommends, but the more steps that you do, the easier it will be to accomplish success in healing. He gave us a textbook entitled Treatment or Healing by True Prayer. In it, there is a chapter entitled Applied Treatment, in which he gives us 1,315 ailments and how to solve each one. He also analyzes the body. He names what it is called in human terms, and then he tells you the spiritual function. We can learn from every single thing that we are exposed to. He is a researcher by nature, an expert on electrical, anything electrical, electromagnetic. People used to come from him all over the world to solve their problem. Big companies. He had a reputation of being able to solve any problem. And he did. This was before he even knew about Christian Science. Once he learned about Christian Science, everything became much easier and more comprehensive. But just because of his nature of how to properly research and to follow the patterns of a genius, he was able to do what he needed to do. We recommend everybody should cultivate the genius characteristics. Everyone has the ability to be a genius. What is a genius? A genius is someone that doesn't give up until the problem is solved, and they follow a systematic scientific approach, and they make sure they're working with the facts. Bicknell Young was one of the most successful practitioners, and he said that he had a number of people that came to him that wanted help in solving business problems. And he found that most of them that had a problem in their business had no idea of how to run a business, and yet they were in business. He had to send them away without helping him at all, except for his advice. He says, go learn your business from top to bottom. And then, if you have a problem, come and see me, if you desire. Do you think that we can make a decision that we want to become proficient at playing the piano and study it in Christian Science, looking for a miracle, when we are trying to go from zero knowledge to becoming maybe an expert and not go through the human steps of learning how to play a piano? We can always utilize Christian Science to assist us as we're going through the steps, but we can't just push a button and think that we're going to perform a miracle. That's the problem with most people when they think about Christ Jesus. They think that he was a miracle worker. They totally forget the fact that he practiced for something like probably 20 years of his life in order to be able to do that. Do you think the period of time that he disappeared from public, that he was doing nothing about learning about God and man and the relationship between God and man? You think he didn't devote any time to preparing for what he could do according to the custom that you couldn't do until you were 30 years of age? You think he wasn't preparing, researching, practicing? Even when he finished his 40 days and 40 nights in the desert before he started, he had the temptation of the devil approach him three different ways. Wherever there is truth, there is its opposite. And we have to recognize that and be aware so that we don't go forward blindly and then wonder why we're not getting any results. Sometimes one of the best ways to define truth is to understand what the evil is, the error, the mistake, and then flip it. Part of knowing what evil is knowing how it operates. Mary Baker Eddy could not get her first version of Science and Health published until she had written a chapter that it did not occur to her that needed to be inserted. And that was chapter 5. And back in those days, they called all forms of evil under one name, animal magnetism. And that's what she used. And she later realized that she had to show how to unmask it. And then it was entitled Animal Magnetism Unmasked. Taking the mask off. What's underneath? How does that operate? What does it look like? How can we detect it? We have a lot on the website that explains all that. Because if we don't know, we're going to be working with a blindfold on. Here are some thoughts on the other synonymous terms. We mentioned about mind basically having anything to do with the mental, spirit having anything to do with the substance. The next one is soul. And we've talked about it, but it wasn't named. And that is our senses of seeing, hearing, feeling, tasting, and smell. And what do we use those senses for? We use them to identify identity. And if we don't identify things properly, we're in big trouble. So therefore, we want to make sure that we understand that the only real senses are the ones that are the substance of spirit. So it is our spiritual senses that we want to utilize, not our material senses. This is all covered in the effective healing presentation. After soul is principle, and that's the structure of whatever the topic is. Think of it as the building blocks that hold everything else together. Think of a 7 candelabra, you know, 7 lights on a candelabra. And the center one with 3 on each side is the core. That's the principle. It's always in balance, always harmonious. And the best way to use it is to realize that we have to have a system. And we use mind for this system that works with principle. Then life, truth, and love. Life is living the qualities of God. Truth is staying on track to make sure that we are focusing on what we need to focus. And love is like the mother. It nurtures all of the qualities to bring them to fulfillment. Life is considered the father, truth the son, which follows the father, and the mother, which nurtures the new idea, whatever new idea we have. Love is what nurtures it, as a mother would. We have about 500 prayer treatments that probably cover about any topic you would be interested in. But we have an open door for communication. So by all means, use the contact form. And if you give us your number, if it's in the U.S. or Canada, we will call you. And if it's outside of the U.S. or Canada, then we use Telegram, which appears to be the most secure and the most readily available to everyone, and their voice quality is extremely good. We explain it all on the contact page. So we are very willing to help people get started on their journey, and you will learn so much if you don't try to reinvent the wheel, but test out what you think is a good source. And that's exactly what Frederick L. Rawson did. If he had an idea, he would test it to make sure he had a right idea. And if it failed, then he knew he had to go back and do more research or go down a different path. And that's what we should be doing every time we want to learn. No one can teach an adult. An adult already has a shield around their thoughts that are protected involuntarily. So what you have to do is have the desire to make a change in thought, speech, and action, because they all have a direct impact on what your life is. We show you how to do it, but you have to have the desire, the gana, the intestinal fortitude. You have to demonstrate both male and female and child qualities. The child quality is so you will be innocent and seeking something new and innocent and prepared to trust what you're learning. And we say, trust what you're learning by testing it. And you have to be a mother because you need to nurture what you are learning to give you a better sense of fulfillment. You have to be a father because you have to be living what you're learning. So there's the father, the mother, and the son. Jesus was the finest example of sonship. This prayer treatment is already over an hour and a half, so I'm going to bring it to a close, and I will close with a prayer treatment that Mary Baker Eddy gave to her most advanced class. It was her final class in the Metaphysical College, and you can learn a lot from it, even though it's short. And there's seven of them, one for each of the seven synonymous terms. And I will just recite one of them to you, but all of them are on the website. And their title is Diapason of Heaven. Diapason, if you look it up, means compound concord. Instead of compounding lies about the man created by God, which is you and me, this is compounding the truth, compounding principle. Principle is balance and harmony. This is compound concord. If I were going to name a town, that would be a beautiful name. We could call it Diapason, or we could call it, well, we already have towns in the U.S. called Concord. In fact, Mary Baker Eddy grew up in the town called Concord. We have a friend that lives in Concord, New Hampshire. There's a lot in a name. If you live what the name means, and if the name represents something that is very spiritual. So here is one of the seven prayers by Mary Baker Eddy that is titled Diapason of Heaven, and there will be a focus on one of the seven, which I will announce when I begin it in a moment. And I say a moment because I want to encourage you, if you have any questions about this prayer treatment or any questions about anything you read in the Bible or any of Mary Baker Eddy's writings or any of the authors, and we have over 100 authors on the website, that you're welcome to call us if you're stuck on something or trying to understand something and you don't seem to understand it. Please feel free to contact us. And we don't have long emails going back and forth because they're too time-consuming. But we will be glad to talk to anyone. Okay, here is the Diapason of Heaven. And if there's any thought that comes to me while this is being recited, I will tack it on after I say amen. And when you hear the words, the end, then it's really the end. So wait for that if you want to hear everything. Okay, here it is. Since we've probably devoted more time to the discussion of mind, this will be the Diapason of Heaven with a focus on mind. The real Christian Scientist is constantly accentuating harmony in word and deed, mentally and orally, perpetually repeating this Diapason of Heaven. Good is my God, and my God is good. Love is my God, and my God is love. And that's quoted in Miscellaneous Writings, page 206. And she continues, we can declare often, divine mind is my mind, and my mind is God. God is my mind, and my mind is good. I have an intelligent mind, a good mind, a wise, perceptive, discerning mind, a clear mind, a joyous, happy mind. Mind is God, all acting, all wise, all loving, all knowing, all seeing. Divine mind is enthroned in my consciousness. Mortal mind and matter and personal sense are not enthroned. Ignorance and apathy and materiality are not enthroned in my consciousness. Good is my mind, and my mind is good. Mind is my God, and my mind is good. Divine mind is enthroned. This is the Word of God. We have to change the subjective thinking we have of these seven names, from personal sense to spiritual sense, and see ourselves and others as spiritual individualities, not personalities. This way is the only way. It is the way the Bible characters walked with God and ascended. Amen. Yes, there is a thought that I want to leave with you as the finale. And that finale is that Mary Baker Eddy was by far the most spiritual person that had walked on earth for at least 1,541 years, which is a time period previously mentioned of 325 A.D. and 1866. Because there were a lot of very spiritual people between the ascension of Jesus at his age 33 and the year 1325. And in fact, the Apocrypha were books of the Bible that were not included in the Bible, but included a lot of characters that were active during that 280-year period, or whatever it is, from age 33 to 1325. So during those years, there was a lot of healing. And that's what got the churches and the government all excited, because they didn't know how to deal with it. So they had this meeting and they made some very definite rules on what was going to happen in the future. So think about what Mary Baker Eddy did to keep her thought on the track of truth. And that was that she was very active. And I may have mentioned that it's estimated that she probably, and this is by me, estimated that she probably was active at least 18 hours a day, maybe 20. And therefore, she had to do something that she felt was necessary to keep her on track, because she was attacked by everyone. The world was ruled by men, and women didn't even have any right to vote. They didn't have a right to own property. They didn't have a right to get divorced. They could have been in a terrible situation. And they had all kinds of problems. So what she did was always returned hate with love. And to make sure that she was only thinking good about every single individual, including the ones that were attacking her directly, was to pray every hour for whatever time she did. I would guess that it would be only a few minutes, because she was working on a project all the time. She did 431 different revisions to the textbook, because there was a total of 432. So that kept her busy. Not mentioning all the other things she did, including being the head honcho and running a worldwide organization that started from scratch. So she devoted time every single hour of her waking day to examine her thought, to make sure there was not a single element but love toward anyone and everyone and every event. So probably somewhere around 18 to 20 times a day she did this. If she only spent 5 minutes a day, imagine. I mean, 5 minutes an hour. You know, 5 times 18. We're talking a goodly amount of time just in doing that one topic. That one topic. We highly recommend, and it's recommended in the effective healing presentation, to do exactly that. You decide what you're going to refresh your consciousness with during those few minutes if you decide to do this. But that should be the primary purpose of that kind of prayer. We call it the hourly prayer or 60-minute prayer. 60-minute means the interval in between the prayers. Very important. It is Saturday, June 27, 2026, at 12:29, just past noon. This has been a prayer treatment from the Mary Baker Eddy Institute, website mbeinstitute.org, and the title is just now being assigned to it, which is Evil Destroyed Opens Path to Effective Healing. Thank you for listening. The end.